And let's look at Acts 14, because it's all going to be tied up to the book of Galatians. Acts 14 says there in verse 28, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Then Acts 15 verse 1, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And so there they go up in Acts 15 verse 1 and 2. In verse 2 especially, Acts 15 verse 2, they went up to Jerusalem the second time. Now at that time that they went up to Jerusalem the second time was, according to our dates and our calculations, it's about A.D. 53. A.D. 53 would mean about 7 years have passed since Acts 13. 7 years have passed since Acts 13. Let me repeat again for those of you who are not so keen on mathematics. Born again. Got it. Praise the Lord. AD 35. Met Peter, James, John. AD 38. Wonderful. Sent by Holy Ghost. Acts 13. AD 45. Now that's 7 years. Then, about AD, 7 years after that, we see there, according to our dates, about AD 53, Acts 15 took place. He was sent a second time. About 7 years had transpired since Acts 13. So in AD 53, he goes the second time to Jerusalem. And that's where we place Galatians chapter 2 verse 1. Now we can go to Galatians 2 verse 1. Then after 14 years. 14 years from when? 14 years from AD 38 when he last saw the Apostle Peter. And I have considered, and when I was in Bible school, they taught me the early Galatia theory, which puts Galatians as the first epistle Paul wrote. But, I don't know, for some reasons, we never did go into the calculation of dates to fit those dates in. But after graduation, and after some time in the ministry, when I began teaching book by book, I realized everything is jumbled up. There's one commentary that says this, one commentary that says that. But none of them tried to tie out all the books and give the day and put the timing according to Galatians. When I started calculating and putting them together, I found it very difficult to fit 14 years, into the first missionary journey. Until I did it that way, which I just explained. And because the first missionary journey in Acts 13 and Acts 14 could not take longer than a period of 7 years. And yet, when I was in Bible school, they taught me that Galatians 2 was not the Jerusalem Council. It was another council, another meeting that Paul had with the Apostle Peter. But I found it very difficult to tie all together. And any student of the Bible who reads commentary and try to tie the historical perspective find it very difficult. And with such confusion, no wonder the body of Christ is also confused. If the scholars are confused, what do you expect about the people? And so, in the end, trying to get the best dates, remember these are approximations. And the best way to harmonize what I call the 14 years, here Paul said, 14 years. 14 years later, after 14 years, from the first time that he saw the Apostle Peter, is to recognize that this second time in Galatians 2, after 14 years, Galatians 2 verse 1, he says, I went up again to Jerusalem, is the Jerusalem Council. And I was glad because in recent years, there have been more and more scholars that have begun to recognize that Galatians 2 is the Jerusalem Council. Which in the early days, when I was in Bible school from 1970, well, it must be pretty long ago. Let me see. 1976, 77, and 78. In those days, there were not many commentaries who recognized that that was the Jerusalem Council. But of late, there have been more scholars that have begun to recognize that that could be taken as the Jerusalem Council. And so, we are going to accept that and take it because of the dating. So we find here about AD 53 in Galatians chapter 2, Paul is talking about the Jerusalem Council we read about in Acts 15, which happens 14 years from the time that he first went to Jerusalem privately to meet with Peter and James and John and the rest of the leaders there. And so all those things that take place in Galatians 2 were sort of Paul's view and Paul's comments on Acts 15. And there are some things that specially took place. Alright? So we have tied up all the historical dates and place where Galatians is. Now, seeing that that took place in AD 53, we have said in our proposed chronological order that Galatians and Romans were written about the same time from Acts 18 verse 11, which we place to be about AD 58. That means that when the letter of Galatians was written, there was at least about 5 years after the Jerusalem Council. Right? To make it AD 58. It's about 5 years. And you could imagine the time spent 5 years after Jerusalem Council, etc. And here's where we tie all the dates together. And we begin to see that after 5 years in the Jerusalem Council, there was a certain proposed stand that the entire church of the Bible days take. That was that they recognized that Gentiles who were born again did not have to keep Jewish laws. They would be accepted based on their faith in Jesus Christ. And there were some things given to them, not to eat blood and not to worship idols and partake of idol food with relation to the worship. And that is in Acts 15. So here, in spite of that time period, we see here Paul in AD 58, and he hears that this group of people called the Judaizers, and they were going around confusing the Gentiles who were born again, still trying to make Jews out of them. And Paul, for that reason, from Acts 18 verse 11 in Corinth, he wrote the letter to Galatia. And he went to the region of Galatia about Acts 14. When he was in Iconium and Lystra, the general area, you notice that that was the southern part of Galatia and the northern part of Cilicia. And so in those areas, that was a long time ago. And yet, that group was still going on and causing a confusion. So for that reason, Paul wrote to the Galatians to tell them about the stand that was made, that they don't have to keep Jewish laws, even though they were born again and they were Gentiles, etc. So we can see in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, he says to them, O foolish Galatians, he told them, who has bewitched you? Who has hypnotized you? Who has caused you to fall away from grace. And he used such a word as that, to cause you to fall away from grace, cause you to cease doing those things that are of the works of the law and not by grace. Not in the sense of them losing their salvation, that sense, but they are going back to works rather than exercising faith in God. Let me read some of the passages that Paul wrote. He says here, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? And also take the background of Galatians 2, verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died also in vain. So he emphasizes that they were going away from grace. Look at chapter 5 of Galatians. Verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Look at his words here. Now, he's not talking in terms of salvation, that they lost their salvation, but he's saying that they are losing that freedom, that liberty. Verse 1 tells us, chapter 5, verse 1. That liberty that they had in Christ, now they're putting the law again on themselves. And for that reason, Paul wrote this wonderful epistle to the Galatians to show them what justification and living by faith means. So having looked at that whole background, we see the purpose of his letter, and the key behind his letter was to deal with this group called the Judaizers, who were going around to the Gentile converts that Paul had and trying to make them keep Jewish laws, trying to say that that is part of their salvation too. And Paul is saying, no, they don't have to do that. And even though Paul himself kept some Jewish laws after he was born again, he did it for the sake of harmony with his Jewish brethren. He did it for the sake of his being able to reach the Jewish brethren, and had nothing to do with salvation. It's a funny stand that we're going to explore as we look into this letter that Paul has taken. So this epistle, if that is why Paul wrote this epistle should be able to give us keys to live continually in the Spirit of grace. It must be somewhere inside. When we know the purpose of this epistle, we can begin to look for it. Because Paul is trying to give it to them. How to continue to live under the grace of God and not fall away from grace. Now, who are this group of Judaizers that Paul so strongly speak against? And you notice that in Acts chapter, looking over Acts chapter 11, they were already there in the church in Jerusalem. Acts 11. All these are background from the Bible. So we do background study. But we don't dig into, you know, here and there, records that outside the Bible. We keep within the framework of the Bible. Acts 11. When Peter came back from Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile, in verse 1 and 2, when the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, and when Peter came to Jerusalem in verse 2, those of the circumcision confronted with him, or contended with him. I'm sure among those who contended with him, there were some who were sincere, and they just didn't understand the teaching of faith and grace. They were born again and Holy Ghost baptized Christians. Among them, they were, I'm sure, sincere folks who, after explanation, I'm sure they grew and they understood. But among them are the hardcore who held on to the wrong teaching until it became an error, a doctrinal error in the early church that had to be dealt with. So in verse 2, Peter confronted this circumcision and circumcision party, we call them. And they came to Peter and said in verse 3, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them." And Peter had explained how the Holy